Now I want to read a few verses from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, which we considered this morning. And just two verses from Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 5. The Lord says this, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Let's again seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we give Thee thanks and praise Thee that our Savior Jesus Christ came at the appointed time. We thank Thee that for many centuries people were waiting for the Messiah of Israel to be born. And Lord, as we look back, we can see Thy hand in time and in history. And we pray that each one of us may not be merely observers and merely singing these hymns, but to truly believe in Thy Son who came to save us. Bless every soul here. Help us as we sing and pray and hear and preach. Lord, bless Thy word to each one of us. Through Christ our Savior we ask. Amen. Before we come to hear God's word, once again we will sing, this time, hymn number 369. "While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around." 369. Well, friends, it is good to see each one of you here this evening. We are here to think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read various passages from the Bible explaining about His coming. The account of Joseph taking Mary, who was pregnant with child, to Bethlehem. And then there was no room for them in the inn. Some people think it was a silent night. It was a very busy night. The place was packed. There was no room for people. Then there was the singing of the angels, the host from heaven. There was the shepherds going to find out. It was, lots were going on that evening when Christ was born. Well, friends, what a wonderful truth this is. This is not a story. It's a real account that took place. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? How does it affect you that Jesus Christ was born? Is it something that you just remember once in a while, once a year? Or you think about it? You praise God for it? Or is it something that affects you for every day of your life? You're thankful that Jesus Christ came. You're thankful that Jesus Christ was born, not just as a babe, but He grew up and He was our Savior. And He is still the Savior of the world. Well, friends, this evening, I want to take up again the subject of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the virgin birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Mary conceived, not naturally, but through the coming of the Holy Spirit upon her. And the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in her womb. She did not know any man. But this was a miracle of God. And it is something that is mind-boggling, but it is something that the Bible clearly teaches of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the miracle of miracles that God would come down amongst us. That God would be born in such a way. Nobody else has been born in this way. Ever. Or ever shall be. His birth was announced from the beginning. His name was declared. Emmanuel, God with us, will be here. That Jesus would be born. All the prophets of old. You read the Old Testament and you think it may be, you may not understanding what is the purpose of all the Old Testament. But it is all pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what it is doing. Well, everyone was looking forward to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much was said about Him. But why? Why the virgin birth? Well, I want to say a few words about this. Taking up verse 5 of Galatians 4. Galatians 4, well, verse 4 and 5 reads thus. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. That's what we thought of this morning. Made under the law. And then the purpose is this, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The purpose is given to redeem. Do you know what that means, boys and girls? Do you know what it means to redeem? It means to buy. It is to do with money. But it is a purchase of something. And this is a purchase of people. To redeem sinners. To buy sinners. It is a payment that is given for the release of slaves in those days. A slave was to be released. There was to be some money given towards that. To the master. And then when the payment was given, the slave would be set free. And here the Bible refers to this because it is describing us, every one of us, as sinners, slaves to sin. And we need to be released from that. Who will pay the price? That's why Jesus Christ came, of the virgin birth. Why did God go to all of this effort to bring His Son into the world? Why didn't God simply use some other great man to accomplish His perfect plan? Why not use Abraham? Why not send another Moses? Why not send another David? Why didn't God simply send angels? Why did God have to use something like the virgin birth, as it's described in the Gospels and other parts of the Scripture, to bring His salvation into this world? Well, there are a number of reasons for this, and I hope you will listen. The reasons why Jesus Christ came, it is so essential for you to understand. The first thing is this, the reason is this. It's because we cannot release ourselves. A slave cannot release themselves, they cannot pay for themselves, but Jesus Christ came to redeem them. Redeem us, who are under the law of God. That is, we are under its bondage and under its condemnation. He did it the way He did because no mere human was qualified or could redeem sinners from their sins. You can't do that. You can't save yourself. No more than you can change and give yourself a new heart. And there's something wrong with you inside of you. You have to go and see a doctor. You have to go to a hospital if you need surgery. And some of you have had surgery. You need someone else to operate on you. And we need God to work in us, to give us a new heart. You see, why is that? Why is it needed? For some of you, you may not be familiar to the account. Why is the world the way it is? Why is there so much suffering and sad things happening in the world? Why is our life full of mess? Things that are not right. It is like you go to someone's house and the picture is just out of shape, or it's not hung up right. And you look at it and you think there's something wrong here with this mirror or this picture. And then you look at your life and you think, and I look at my life, there are things that are not straight. Things that are out of joint, it's not right. Why is that? Well, the Bible gives the answer. The Bible says that it is through sin. When Adam, the first man Adam, sinned against the Holy God in the garden, what God said that he would die. He would die spiritually as well as physically. And God had said to him not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, but Adam would not listen. He was tempted of Satan and he rejected God's word to him. And so the Lord said, if you do eat of it, you will surely die. And so when Adam sinned against God in the garden, he became a sinner. And so he then went on sinning. And then he passed on that sinful nature to his children, to his offsprings, with Eve, all the children that they had. And then they passed it on, this sinful spiritual condition, to all of their children. And then they in turn passed it on to the rest of mankind. That's why the youngest child that is born, we say, well, it is so innocent, so lovely, so perfect. And there is a sense of that until they can do something. Until they can keep you awake at night. And some of your parents, you know how many hours, and you lose your mind not having sleep. And then other things that they do. As they grow up, did you teach them to lie? Did you teach them to steal? Did you teach them any of those wicked things that they might do? Who did? No one did. It is coming from within. That's what Jesus Christ said. The things that comes out of their mouth, that we say, well, why did you say that? Who would say such a thing? Or whatever else they might do. It is coming from within. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the things that you do and you're ashamed of? And so I don't want anyone to talk about that kind of a thing, about my life. And you would say to, sometimes children would tell people about things that goes on in your home, and you get embarrassed, don't you? And the reason is, we get embarrassed because we know it is wrong. Why is that? Where did that sin come from? So the Bible says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Why do people die? It is to do with the fact that we are all sinners. Not that they have done something wicked and sinful to resolve that, but the fact that we are all sinners. The best of people die. The most holy people die. Because we are living as sinners in this world. It is the curse of God upon sin and sinners. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. You have sinned, I have sinned, every person has sinned. And so That means all of the prophets were sinners. That means Abraham was a sinner, Moses was a sinner, David was a sinner. Your parents are sinners. Your children are sinners. I am a sinner. And guess what? You are a sinner. It is a simple truth of the Bible to us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then that is why Jesus Christ had to be born of the Virgin. The Savior was to be born because we couldn't save ourselves. We needed a Savior. That's why again and again, you read in the Gospels, the angel said to the shepherds, tonight, this night, a Savior is born in the city of David, in Bethlehem. Another reason for the virgin's birth is this. Another reason why we should thank God for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is this. That we are under condemnation. I've already mentioned this. Since man is a sinner, all of us, every one of us, since we are sinners, we are under the condemnation and the judgment of God. We have to give an account of ourselves to God. That's why it is so essential to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you some verses about this. This is not something coming from me or anybody else. It is coming from the Bible. It is coming from God Himself. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This gift of God came into this world. Jesus Christ is the gift of God, came into this world that is under condemnation. And He gives life. Do you have life, a spiritual life? The Lord said this, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So all of us are in need of the Savior. That's why Jesus came. Do you know Him? Can you say this evening, I think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ now, and I know Him. He saved me. But if you cannot say that, then seek Him tonight. Seek Him with all your heart. And the Scripture says, if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. He's a gracious Savior. He's not someone who is running away from you. The issue is we are running away from Him. You see, people like the festivities. But many people do not want the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? Another reason is this. I've already mentioned it. We are unable to save ourselves. Since man is a sinner, since you and I are sinners, we can't do anything or pay any price to redeem ourselves, to buy ourselves, to pay for our sins, pay for the debt. We are bankrupt. And what can a bankrupt person do? You don't have the money to give. You're in the red. Anything that people offer, you try to offer religious service, you become more religious, is not enough to pay. You try to pay to the church, that won't be enough. You try to clean up things in your life, that's not enough. Oh, everything we do is tainted by our sins. Everything is out of sorts in our lives, spiritually speaking. But we are all as an unclean thing, the Scripture says, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The only way, you see, for us to be saved is through the coming of Jesus Christ. It is through His wonderful birth and His wonderful life and His wonderful giving of Himself for us. Do you understand this? The only way that you and I, sinful man, could ever be delivered from his sins would be through the sacrifice of someone who is sinless. Someone else who has never sinned has to pay my debt, your debt. And that is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And Jesus Christ did what we couldn't do, what sinful people could not never do. When He died upon the cross, His birth is wonderful. But the Apostle Paul says He glories in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of Christianity, is the birth, life and death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished by coming into this world to be our Savior. Do you know him this evening? Can you say, yes, I know these things. And I can feel it. This is what I need. I need to be saved. Is this how you feel tonight? Well, you might look at the life of Jesus Christ and it means nothing to you, maybe. Well, that is what we feel naturally. The first time I began reading the Bible and began to hear about these things, I didn't like it. I didn't like being told I'm a sinner. It really affected me. I was proud. I thought, no, I'm not a bad person. And then I read these things in the words of Isaiah, who wrote about Jesus Christ over 700 years before Jesus Christ came. It said this in Isaiah 53, "For he," that is the Lord Jesus, "shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." Now, have you ever seen a root out of a dry ground? Do you ever go and show your allotment or your garden and say, "Let me show you some dry roots"? Have you ever done that? No, it's not a pleasant thing. You don't want to. You cover up your all the dry things in your garden or in your allotment. But this is how the Lord Jesus Christ is described. Nobody really cared for him when he was born. Who went after the Lord Jesus Christ except a few shepherds? And then later on, about 2 years later, some wise men who had come, traveled all that distance to come to meet him. Not many people went for him when he was born. No, not many people went to see him. Just a handful of people recognized who he was. He is despised, the scripture says, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's his life. So you see something about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. People didn't appreciate him when he was born. Do you appreciate him now? When God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, he sent into the world the best of things, the best person, the only person who would save us. The one who is sinless and perfect, who did no sin, the Bible says. Neither was guile found in his mouth. You want to have the most perfect person in your life. Maybe you're looking for a person who is perfect to have in your life. A perfect child. A perfect spouse. And then you think you've found that person. You think you've found that child who is perfect. And then soon you'll find out, no, they are not perfect. But the Lord Jesus Christ, have you found him? If you find him, you will find him to be perfect. From every angle that you look at him, he's perfect. And he's perfect for you. He's perfect for sinners like you. He's perfect for me. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he did not die for his own sins. He died for the sins of a lost world. For lost people. People who don't know why they are here. People who don't know how to deal with their sin. People who don't know their future. He died for lost people. He said this, that he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came and lived and died. He came to do that, to redeem us, to buy us, to pay the price by his own life. And God accepted that payment. Praise God for that. Imagine if someone came and said, "I am going to help you to purchase such and such a thing. I know you can't pay, but I will come and pay for this." And then you go together to the individual who has that thing, that car or whatever it is, to pay. And then the person says, "Well, it is such and such a price." And your friend says, "Actually, I don't have that amount. I wanted to help you, but I can't help you." And how disappointed you would be. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't disappoint. When he paid the price, it was complete payment. He didn't want you to do anything to earn it. And that's what grace is all about. It is amazing grace. That's what we were singing of. It is amazing grace. We can't understand it. Why God would send his Son to die for me, who I'm not worthy, have not done anything good to deserve this goodness of God. But this is what the message of the Christian faith is. This is what the message of the gospel is. It is good news.
It's not bad news. It's not a so-so news that, well, there are some good things in it, there are some bad things in it. No, it's everything is good about it when you think of this. God did it the way He did it because no other way would work. There would be no other way for us to receive this salvation except Jesus Christ would be born in the way He did. Man had sinned. And man was condemned to death. The only way to change that was for a perfect man to come and live and to die. The reason God sent His Son into this world through the virgin birth was to guarantee. It was to guarantee the birth of a perfect, sinless Savior who would bear the sins of the lost people and to satisfy God's perfect demands. That's why. So when someone says, why did Jesus Christ come? That's the answer. To save, to redeem, to pay the perfect price for my soul. And another reason is this, because there should be no room for mistaking the Savior. He didn't leave any room to mistake Him. And to put a question mark over Him, to think, well, He may be the Savior. He may be the Messiah. No. The virgin birth proves that He is the Savior, the only Messiah. And so the reason God sent Jesus Christ through a virgin birth was so that no one would make the mistake of believing that Jesus Christ was just like all other people. He did it so that nobody could accuse the Lord Jesus of being a sinner or of having a sinful nature. So that is another reason. So we don't mistake Him. Now, without the virgin birth, friends, there would be no Savior. Why are you praising the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are you thankful for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? If it is anything other than the fact that He is your Savior, it means nothing. It is empty. It is like a gift, which is empty. It's a box wrapped, but there's nothing in it. So I hope you take these things in. As you think about the Lord, you think, why did He come? Why am I singing these words? What do they really mean about His life, about His birth? It means that He is the Savior. Without the virgin birth, there is no Savior, there is no salvation, there is no forgiveness. Don't you want forgiveness of your sins? Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us that forgiveness of sins. If Jesus Christ came into the world just like the rest of us did, then He's no different than we are. We need a Savior from outside of this world. He Himself then would be a sinner, and He would need a Savior if He was born just like us. All His claims to be God and to be the Messiah would be lies if He just was born like us. Friends, hear me well. The Lord Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, the Son of God and the Savior. He was born of a virgin, just as the Bible says He was. He was born without sin. He lived without sin. And when He died to take away our sins. The sins of people like you and me. And you can, friends, believe the Bible. You can believe the Gospel. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ with the salvation of your eternal soul. You know you have something that will never die. That's your soul. It will never die. It will continue on. After your body dies, your soul will continue on. Where will it be? In eternity. You can believe this. Why is that? Because the Bible says this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why you can believe it. Because He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, any one of us, who believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is why you can believe it. And also this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe this in your heart and call upon God, you will be saved. And this as well. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe, friends, what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can then say with the Apostle Paul that you are going to be kept. You're going to be kept. I know whom I have believed, he said. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Friends, we are not like those who don't have any good news. We are not like those who can't tell you about the best news that is there in the world. They're not like those who don't give any hope. The message of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message of hope. Because the Prince of Peace is born. Because God has come to save. And that is what you need. That is what I need. The leaders of our world, the TV presenters and the politicians don't have any real message that can change your life, your eternal life. And let me tell you about some people who don't have any kind of a message to give to people. And sometimes it is found amongst ministers. Sometimes it is found amongst church leaders who don't really know Christianity. I read of this man some years back, over 100 years ago in Lancashire. One night, this girl, it was a windy, cold night, this girl had arrived at the minister's door knocking. She said, "Are you the minister?" "Yes," he said. "Then I want you to come and to get my mother in," she said. "Come and get my mother in." And he thought, well, is she drunk? What does she mean by this? Her mother is out. She needs to get in. Maybe the mother is drunk. So the minister said, well, I don't think that's my job. I think you need to call the police. The police would come and help you out. And the poor girl said, "No, my mother is dying. And I want you to get her into salvation. I want her to come to know God. Can you come and get her in?" It was a strange way of putting it, but that's what she said. And so the minister felt that he must go with that girl and found her mother in a very bad state, in a very bad area of the town. And he went and he sat down with her and he said, "Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful example for our lives. He did so many good things for people, and he's such a good example for you to look up to." And the woman said this, "But minister, that's not a good thing for a person like me. I'm dying. I don't want an example. I'm a poor lost sinner. That's all I know. I'm a sinner. What am I going to do?" And the minister wrote in his journal, he said, "I was face to face with a poor dying soul and had nothing to tell her. I had no gospel," he said. But then he remembered. You see, this man had gone through all kinds of things and was a man who would lead churches. But he didn't know how to tell this good news of salvation to this poor woman. And he said this, "Then I thought of my mother and what she had taught me." And he basically said to this woman of what his mother said to him when he was a child, of the love of God through Jesus Christ, that God sent his son Jesus Christ into this world, what I've been telling you this evening, what the Bible has been telling us. And he sent his son into this world to be our Redeemer and our Savior. And Jesus Christ died upon the cross to be our Savior. And this woman, as he was saying, she said, "This is what I need. This is what my soul needs. Now I have hope. Now I know that he has also died for a poor sinner like me. I need a Savior just like that Lord Jesus Christ." Can you say that yourself? And so the minister said this in his journal. He said, "That night, I got her in, but I myself got in too, with her." So he himself suddenly realized The message of Jesus Christ and his salvation is something for him as well. A religious man, but not converted. Not a truly a Christian man. Friends, do you know why Jesus Christ came into this world? This evening I've been trying to explain it to you. I hope you take it to your heart. I hope you will ponder over it. Have you believed the gospel? Have you believed this good news? Has it affected your life? If you have, then you are truly blessed. You must be truly a happy person. You should be very happy and thankful to God, for you have received the best of gifts. But if you haven't believed the gospel, you should be most concerned about the state of your soul. You should think over the holiday period. What am I going to do? I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has come into this world for someone like me, and I need him. So I hope you will seek through this holiday season to know him and to trust him. And how you can come to know him is by believing in what the Bible tells you about Jesus Christ and what he did, and repenting of your sins, and casting all of your soul upon the Lord Jesus. Why the virgin birth? So you could be saved. Amen.